So effectively, like, before we even get into the video, the whole conclusion is Gary V's to blame for everything. COVID, the economic downturn.
I mean, I'm glad you said it, because I was going to say it. No, I've got a
different version of him, but he would sound more like Jordan B. Peterson for some reason. So
I quite like him, but it's funny when people flame him, because he is very, like, or at least now it looks like he's very, he was, to be fair, one of the first ones, but he's very cliche, motivational, like, never stop, you know.
He did change his tune, though, because at first it was just like, I sleep 4 hours, I haven't seen my kids in years, and we live in the same place type thing, do you know what I mean? Where it's like...
Yeah, there is a clip of him saying...
I'm at the garage sales, making sure I'm earning that extra $10, even though my agency's VaynerMedia or whatever's fucking earning me millions as I, like, record this vlog.
Yeah, there is a clip of him saying about he actually, like, he doesn't want to glamorize not sleeping, you know? Like, he sleeps, like, 8 or 9 hours a day. Like, there is that clip of him out there. Says, like, oh, I don't want people to think, like, he's basically, maybe, I don't know what he said before, but, yeah, like, he's basically says, like, I don't want it to look like I just never stop. Like, his whole point is, I grind, like, whilst I'm up. I don't, like, you know, deprive myself of sleep. He says that's, like, it is one of the most important things. Anyway, okay. He's got very little to do with esports, but I guess it's a nice little jumping off point.
He's got a complete tie to esports, mate. He owns part of Minnesota Rocker, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess he probably
directly. He is the reason esports is fucking shite now.
I mean, that's probably what, like, 0.01% of his whole portfolio.
Oh yeah, it'd be fuck all. Yeah, but the whole topic of hustle culture and stuff has been, it pops up every like 6 months or so in esports. I think it's one of the big recurring themes and narratives, right? And normally it's on off of the back of like a clip from Hex on like a podcast where he's like, you've got to want it 24/7, 365. You've got to wake up and do this and do that and don't fucking brush your teeth. Don't wipe your ass. That's wasting time. Just like crack on. You know what I mean? All to do with gaming, and it's just like, it's fucking mental. But like this time, Frosty called out 100 Thieves for only paying him $60,000 a year, which I would be very happy with, and taking 85% of deals, even though it was actually 65%, and 100 Thieves sourced the deal and brokered it, apparently. So he, like, basically tried to go out against 100 Thieves, and then Nadeshot, which I really respect, actually, like, straight away, no PR statement, goes live on Twitch, stream of consciousness, just explain shit.
So, sorry, say again, what percentage did 100T take?
So I think Frosty said that they were going to take 85% of a deal for the mob, like the group he was part of.
85%?
And then I think I didn't watch the stream. I saw some clips, but I think it got debunked as being like more like 65% or something. But like 100 Thieves did broker the deal. So
right,
it's not like Frosty went and spoke to X company and got the deal secured. You know?
No, but to be fair, that is a pretty incredible like percentage. Because I recently worked for a talent agency. And if we, so the structure was, if it was an incoming offer that we just kind of managed in the inbox, like we didn't source it, we'd take 15% of a creator's like brand deal. And if we sourced it, it'd be 20. Now some do like 25, but like 65 or 85, that is pretty fucking high. Now whether that was because, like you said, if it was for the group, I don't know. There might be a reason for that. I don't know. I mean, it is ridiculously high.
They're also not officially a talent agency. They're, you know, like they're just one of the orgs in LA.
True,
like,
actually, true. That's
we're
true.
Do that.
But, that's, you know, not their model, is it? Yeah.
No. If a brand went to them, I we could probably find out more information. But fuck it, this is not the crux of the video anyway. But like, yeah, if a brand went to 100 Thieves and said like, all your creators, across all of the creators you've got, we want to promote fucking, I don't know, this alcoholic brand or whatever. Like, if they get 15 or 35% or that or whatever, it's actually maybe not that bad.
That's actually really true, yeah. It's a completely different...
Is it a year deal under the mob, and he signed for 1 year and blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't...
Yeah, they are, specific, but... they are a team, and I guess the brand will have been interested in 100 Thieves, not the creator. That's a very big difference, actually. I was seeing it from, like, the talent agency perspective, where they come straight to the creator themselves. So, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but basically, anyway, like, Frosty spat his dummy out. I don't know why he's, like, airing Dirty Laundry now, like a year or two on, it seems a bit weird, to be honest. But as I say, Nade Shot commendably came out, no PR, you know what I mean? Didn't have someone behind him telling him what to say. He was just like firing from the hip, which you've got to respect. Like, you can tell that he understands what authenticity is and how much it matters when it comes to these kind of matters, you know?
Yeah,
instead
sure.
of just like a fucking tweet where it's a wall of text or something. Like, I respect that. But he ended up going on to talk about like how hard he had it coming up, how like in the Optic House there'd be four of them like competing against each other in one room to see who could stream the longest to make it and all this kind of shit. He was like, I'm not going back to McDonald's, and really inspirational stuff in a sense. And that is kind of what spawned the debate again of like, yeah, just because you had it hard, mate, doesn't mean like now creators and those in the industry in like the back office of it all, even players, a bit different, I suppose. But like, yeah, especially like industry folk, like we don't have to work fucking 16 hours a day doing five different jobs effectively just to make it. So like encouraging that is lousy. Like the industry's moved on and there's more money in here now. This is what people are saying. So like, how about we improve what we expect of people? And that, I think that's basically the crux of it. So you get the people who've been in for 20 years are like, oh, well, I had to fucking eat shite for years, so other people should as well, is how I see it. And the younger people are like, mate, if I do my job, then I deserve to get paid, mate. Why do I need to be going above and beyond? Like, and that feeds into this whole quiet quitting shit, which we can discuss later on a little bit as well, maybe, if you've seen anything about that, because it's fucking mental.
Yeah, a little bit. Shall we talk about that now, or do you want to leave that?
Oh, quiet quitting.
Yeah,
it's the
biggest
piece of shit I've ever fucking heard, fam. It's not even anything to do with quitting, is it? It's just literally people not going above and beyond what they need to do. And it's like, yes, you are doing your job. That's sick. Like,
so that's all it is. So I was going to say, given it's like
working 8 hours that you're permitted to do. Like not
and
going
just
above
not
and
doing
beyond,
a second. Right, right.
Yeah.
So not feeling obliged to like do more, basically. That's what quiet quitting is.
Yes, yeah. And I will Google it now just to make 100% certain that...
Why is it called quiet quitting?
That's what I'm saying, fam. I don't know. It's some weird shit. But let's get an exact definition, shall we? It means doing only what your job demands and nothing more. That's just called being a fucking well-balanced human, in my opinion.
That's called being an employee. I think... the thing I think as well, like if you feel the need to like say, oh, that's it, I'm quiet quitting... If you feel the need to do that, you're probably not happy in the role, because I feel like when you're in an environment where you feel appreciated and you like the project and you like the company, you like the people that manage you and all that stuff, they're never going to ask you to like go beyond your working hours, but you're probably going to feel more inclined to. Like, you wouldn't feel inclined to be like, no, actually, I'm quiet quitting. I finish at 5, so that's it. As soon as it's 5 o'clock, I'm going. If you were at a company that you actually loved working for, you wouldn't be thinking in those ways. You'd be like, ah, my colleague needs some doing by the end of the day. It's 5, but this will take another 15 minutes. Ah, let me just bash it out. So like, I think a lot of the time the problem is you're just not in a job that you give a fuck about. And I feel like I can speak on that, because I have no qualms about quitting a job. Like, for example, I just said before I was a talent manager. So I was freelance for a year doing like writing, a bit of journalism stuff, like in esports and out of esports. And then I got a job at Kairos Group as like a talent manager. And it just, long story short, wasn't like the company's fine, but it wasn't quite right. I left after 6 weeks, and like, I feel like more people need to have a backbone and be honest with themselves and be ready to quit, even if you've got nothing else lined up. I get not everybody has like the means to do it, but also you kind of do. There are plenty of jobs out there. You can do all sorts of stuff. Maybe not quit and then figure it out, but you can definitely like set something up or start looking. Like, a lot of the time, people are just too willing to put up with jobs that they're not fully in. Not only are they not fully into it, the job means nothing to them, and so then they'll start flunking, and which is fine. Like, I you know, the quiet quitting stuff, you're well within your rights to do it. In fact, I'd probably encourage that. But I think a lot of the time the main problem is you're just in a job that you don't really care about, and there are plenty of jobs out there. I feel like you just need to know yourself and know what job you need to satisfy like your traits and your skill set and all that stuff. So I don't know. I feel like this kind of anti-work push that comes, I feel that 100%, because like I said, I've just left a job. I left ESI after not that long because I wanted to just try my hand doing something else. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else. Can't remember.
Oh, good man. Well, the thing is, I get your point. I don't know if I agree with it all. I think like you can care about working for a company and the success of the company and your colleagues, while also like having clear boundaries as to what you're willing to do.
No, that's true. Yeah.
They say work-life balance. I don't think it exists. I think you basically just like put more of your energy into what requires the energy at the time. So no doubt there will be times at a company where it's like you might need to do an extra hour. Like it's not expected upon you as such, but it would make life easier for yourself if you did it right. And I think you can still do that while like having those boundaries. It's not just like pushing yourself every single day instead of finishing at 5 when your contract finish, you go till fucking 8 p.m. Like I was doing like 16 hour days at ESI as the editor. But like now I do 8 hours at Hitmarker. I'll occasionally record in an evening, but I'm taking that time, like at least some of it back as a rule. And that's that. But it doesn't mean like I don't care about the work I'm doing or the success of the company or whatever. But it's just more like right now I care more about getting shit going in my personal life and staying on top of that than I do, you know, pouring everything into the work basket.
So I think the point I was trying to make is in my last job that I left after not very long, when I was in it, my thoughts kept going to like the place of the typical place when you're not enjoying your work of like, oh, Jesus Christ, like clock watching, basically. Okay. You're just thinking like, you know, I'm working until this time and like, it just feels shit. And so you think to yourself, like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you feel like as soon as it reaches this time, I'm going to go and like, and like I said, you're well within your rights to do that and you should do that. But my point was like, since going back freelance and doing stuff that I just enjoy way more, it's much less secure. It is, you know, I'm still in the process of having to find work and stuff. Like a lot of it is up in the air and I'm a little bit stressed sometimes in terms of like, oh shit, where's money going to come from this month? As a freelancer is want to do. But I don't clock watch. I don't think to myself, oh, I want to, like, because I'm enjoying it, even though it's insecure, I'm more willing to just work and not worry about how long I'm working for. Do you get what I mean? So I think that was my point is like, you know, sometimes you're in a job and you like, you see it as this thing of like, no, I just think ultimately you need to find something that you enjoy or that at least means something to you. Like you're there for a reason. If you're in a shit job, and everyone can find that, I don't care what anyone fucking says, anybody can find that.
I think there's some validity to like, basically not many of us would work, quote unquote, work the way we do now. Like if we didn't have to, right? Like if all bills were covered and stuff, like a lot of us would be lazy cunts, but and that's fine, you're well within your right to be a lazy cunt. Like I do agree in a sense, like we're not, like we don't live to work, but I would also say I think people underestimate the level of structure and purpose that you get from work, like especially if it's something that you do enjoy, right? Like if you like the craft of writing, like having that job, even though you may not want to do it sometimes, I think that is probably a net positive to your life, even outside of the money. And it's hard to remember that sometimes. So yeah, viewing work as just solely a vehicle for like paying bills and stuff, like in a very practical sense, sure, but in almost like a spiritual sense, it's like, no, it's more than that. It's a sense of duty. It helps with your identity.
Yeah.
Add structure to your life for sure. Like if you don't have, I don't know, if you didn't have that job, you'd have to be very, I think, mindful and particular about having other creative endeavors and purpose-led endeavors, whether you're into carpentry or fucking drawing or learning instruments or writing songs or something. Like I don't know how many people would do that. They'd just become a lazy sack of shit who sits and watch Netflix all the time and maybe go for walks occasionally.
Yeah, work's a lot of your life, man. You've got to find something
half
that
you of
enjoy
your waking
doing.
Time, mate. You know, yeah, it's a madness.
If not more for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I agree. So I think one of the biggest hacks is, like I said, just finding something that you really enjoy. I love how we've got into like inspirational Gary Vee
type. Like, on a real level, though, this is the kind of shit I love talking about outside of esports. And
fuck them. Every esports people are people, aren't they? And if they don't like it, they can fucking click off the video.
They're subhuman. I think someone just got banned in League of Legends for saying that in like a public match, like a professional League of Legends player called someone subhuman. They were playing for Schalke and then they got like banned because in Germany it's like they see it as like anti-Semitic and stuff, and he's like, I'm not German, I'm French. I think he was, and it was just like he got banned for saying subhuman, but I'm gonna say it. Schalke, come at me, you cunt. I think there's relevance to what we're saying, inside and outside of esports, you know. But effectively, oh sorry, you go for it, you've got hot.
I was just gonna say, did you read my mate Alex Lee's piece on G Fuel? Because that's some grind culture shit. I think fairly relevant. Basically, if anybody that doesn't know, the G Fuel executive team just sound like general classic gaming pieces of shit, basically, where they were just like... So they ended up sacking like 7 talent managers that were all very unhappy about it. They said it was because it was performance related, basically. Yeah. But they've since told Digiday and a couple, and like I think reported it officially to the HR of G Fuel and all that stuff, that like the CEO and a couple of other top execs have just been like really inappropriate and like maybe treated them like shit a little bit over the last since they've worked there. And basically when the talent managers were sacked recently, like all of their talent went with them, because like I think one of the quotes in the piece was like that a creator was saying, like, I see that my talent manager as G Fuel. So, like, if they're unhappy, like, that's reflective of G Fuel, basically.
Interesting.
And it seemed like a similar thing there, to be honest, mate, where, like, their whole thing is, you know, you have to constantly be working, constantly, like, putting pressure on people to work past normal hours and that sort of thing.
I think I figured out what they do is, and this is part of the narrative of esports, they frame it as if it's a fucking a treat or an honor or a privilege to be able to work for these companies or in this industry.
Yes, definitely.
And that alone, like they'll say, like, oh, you're so lucky to be working in an industry that's growing rapidly and developing all the time, and this and that, $1 billion, bigger than a Super Bowl, blah, 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 or G Fuel, the official drink of fucking esports, and this and that, you know, we've got all these partners, we've got Ninja on a multi-year deal. Like, you're setting it up to basically be like, well, you're fucking lucky to be here, so you better be working your ass off, because there's some other little fucker who we can bring in to replace you. So, like, yeah, you better be going above and beyond and,
exactly,
and making the most of this opportunity you've got, because you're in early.
Yeah.
And that you know, continues the absolute bullshit.
And so, like, one of the things that the G Fuel execs kept saying, supposedly, was, I think... they were on a call, all the talent managers were on a call with the CEO and maybe a couple of other executives, and he basically was saying, like, you're all lazy motherfuckers. And I just don't, and he was saying some other mad shit. I just don't think people in a company are lazy for the most part. If you're a talent manager for G Fuel, you're probably relatively good, or you're a fairly experienced talent manager, because like you're managing some of the top creators basically in gaming. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you work there, you've probably got some experience in talent management. You're pretty capable, whatever. I think, don't get me wrong, sometimes there will just be lazy bastards that don't do their jobs. But if you're on a call calling everyone in your company, a company that's doing well, lazy motherfuckers, I just think that's reflective more on you. And if they're if they're showing elements of laziness, I think it's probably just that they feel alienated from you as a leader and from the company. Most people aren't lazy. They might shirk a couple of hours, but most people do their jobs, especially if you've got like a good structure, good leadership team. Most people do their jobs. And so I think, like I said, if it gets to the point where you're like, yeah, you're all lazy, for what? Like, they've not done anything badly. Like, performance was pretty good. So, you know, calling them all lazy, like I said, I think it's more reflective on them as a company, to be honest.
Do you reckon remote work may affect like productivity levels at companies?
I probably think so. Yeah, I think I don't know, man. It's a tough one. Probably,
person, of
probably.
Course, right? Like, you can't say like as a culture of X, Y based on it, but like I imagine for some people, there's better kind of environments for them and stuff where they're comfortable at home and they've got a nice setup, and you know what I mean. They don't have to be traveling for an hour in LA traffic each day, all this kind of stuff. Where they will actually produce better work in a shorter amount of time, so you're actually getting more out of them, stuff like that. But there will also be some cunts who are laid in bed at fucking 10 o'clock logging into Slack right on the minute getting as little done as possible while getting away with it, basically quiet quitting to the fucking extreme. Yeah. So there's probably both sides of it. But so as a whole, probably the baseline of productivity has moved down a little bit because there's less probably accountability, right?
Yeah. I'm on the Malcolm Gladwell side of stuff. Have you seen the clip of him on, or have you listened to his episode on Stephen Bartlett?
I haven't. I can't get on with Bartlett's podcast. I've given him a couple of tries. I don't like him. I've seen a couple of clips, though. But
That episode's really, really good, to be fair. Malcolm Gladwell is just sick. But he bare people started kicking off on LinkedIn and stuff because he basically said, like, it's not in your best interest to work from home. He said, like, the best parts about work are the kind of the culture and the camaraderie of being in the office and stuff. If you work for a company totally remotely, you're just going to become disinterested more. And like, I think we're even seeing this, like people are quitting more that work from home. Like, don't get me wrong, working from home is really good. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, isn't it? There's probably like a hybrid solution most companies are going to reach. But yeah, I agree with Malcolm Gladwell, to be fair, because like, it's just so much easier to leave a job and to get dissatisfied with a job if you're not in the office constantly and like with colleagues and going through it together. Like, there's only so much you can do on calls and on Slack and on Discord and stuff. So
it's almost like you can't have a personalized company culture or feeling at all. Like, no matter which company you work for, you almost get like the same experience in a sense. You're going to log in on Slack and there'll be some calls and meetings and maybe a games night once a month or something, but effectively it's all the same kind of stuff. Whereas if you go into one office full of employees versus another company's office, like, there's going to be different I hate the word, but vibes around definitely. It, you know, so it almost like, yeah, just, I don't know, distills it into just boringness no matter what, where personality and culture don't really matter too much, you know. Agency in esports and gaming, where like I'm pretty sure based on what I've heard, like they do a lot to stay on top of people, like not in a dystopian kind of way where you have to check in with them every 3 minutes, but like every day they'll check in the right way and they'll do like meetings, but it's in like a virtual space where you've got an avatar and all this kind of shit. They're just trying different things to like tie together a group of like individuals and create a team out of like solely online folk, which they're doing more than what I hear for like most other companies and stuff, you know. So that's interesting. There must be ways to engage people better and best out of them, you know. But as you say, I think a hybrid approach probably works. I've been working from home for like I think 4.5 years now, and I 100% miss parts of the office environment. I don't miss making cuppas for everyone. But you know,
see, I do. I like that stuff, mate. That's the best bit.
Yeah, I mean? I used to get performance anxiety with tea making.
I don't mean the exact like that specific task.
I'd walk through the warehouse to go to the kitchen. I'd be like, "Hey, up lads, you fat fuckers!" Like, you know what I mean? I just go in, there's a bit of banter there, and you can have a natter with people.
Yeah, no, it's nice, man. I miss that. Like, definitely. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it can work the other way where an office vibe is so shit, you hate the company, and like every day is a drag because you have to get up and see these pricks. But for the most part, like even then, at least you're getting up and going somewhere. It feels fresh, and you can still, then you can go home and you're removed from it. You're not, you know.
It does feel like you have officially clocked out when you clock out. Whereas when I finish work for the day, it's like, okay, I've moved from my desk, but I'm going to sit back there later to go on YouTube for a bit and answer some emails. You feel like you're permanently on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But also, sure. No matter which company we work for, mate, the vibes are immaculate, so we don't have to worry about
that. Yeah, that's true.
It's just other people, you know, like we bring the vibes.
We are the office.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I've got a very straightforward yes or no for you.
Yeah, go on.
And then we'll lead into something else from there. Okay. It's on topic because we've been kind of off topic, kind of on topic. Do you think esports has a problem with hustle/grind culture? Yes or no? Very hard.
Teams, players, like pro players, or just generally like working
more industry folk
in the industry, right? Okay,
players have to kind of grind in a sense, but they could do it fucking smarter. I agree on that.
Okay, right. If you want a yes or no, I can elaborate afterwards if you want. But if you want yes or no, for industry folk that are just work in the industry, I'll say no. Yeah.
Okay, I can't ask what's my next yours? Question because you've said no. Well, I say yours? Yes, inherently.
Okay, and then you follow okay. on with what you were going to say.
What's your... And I would say that, but I would also say it's not too dissimilar from the tech industry. This is a tech industry, effectively, right? So, but in yeah. startup culture, like, you yeah. know, it's not even implied, it's explicit that this is going to be a fucking grind. That you haven't got a lot of money or resources, but you're going to fucking get as much out of this shit as you can. Mm. Like, you know, like, if you go work Silicon Valley startup, you know you're going to be working 80 hours, and but this is going to help you get that CMO role down the line or whatever else, right? Whereas yeah. in esports, as I said earlier, like, it's framed to be like, get in early now, get your foot in the door type thing. This is a real opportunity. Like, not everyone can make it. Like, can you make it? You need to make sure you work hard for it. So I think it's the same thing because it is just a bunch of startups like burning through fucking cash. Like, it's the exact same thing there, but like the messaging's almost a bit different. Though, of course, like, if you're working for someone that thinks they're going to be the fucking next unicorn in some industry, they're also going to be saying, you're lucky to be working here, mate. This is the one that's going to fucking blow. We're going to 10x investment and our you know, our valuation is going to skyrocket on after our Series C. Just wait. So there, I think there's a lot of similarities, and it's just somewhat a symptom of startup culture and tech industries. But similarly, the way we frame it isn't very fucking helpful at all. And is somewhat unique to esports in a sense.
Mm. Yeah, so I agree that it is essentially, it's an entire industry of startups, basically, in a way. So in that sense, yeah, I agree with you. Like, you know, the whole thing of when you work for a company that's a startup, you've got to wear different hats, you've got to, like, do bear different things. So yeah, in that sense, I agree. I just find it difficult to like generalize an industry, but in terms of its parallels to startup culture, definitely, I agree with that. Because like you said, yeah, the teams are still even you probably find even the biggest like teams, for example, like in esports, like esports teams and like other companies, even some of the biggest have got fairly small teams still. Mm-hmm. It's probably all, you know, like, G Fuel might be a bit different, I guess, because they're like an energy drinks brand that have presumably profit every single year. But like, I don't know, like G2 Esports, they probably don't have more than 100 employees, I wouldn't imagine.
I don't think so.
So, and they're like probably the biggest Western, in terms of like brand and stuff, at least they're one of the top three or four, aren't they?
They're up there, yeah.
And they've probably not broke 100 employees yet. So, yeah. I agree with you on the startup stuff, but it's tough to generalize.
It is, mate. Yeah, and this is a point we've made through like our entire channel, effectively, to not generalize because it don't fucking help. But for this topic, we almost kind of have to a little bit. But like, I wrote a column on it which pissed loads of people off. I think including Hex, because like I basically called him out during it because there's that clip where it's like 24/7, 365. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I the thing is, yeah, I want to make it very clear.
I don't like that, by the way.
It's bollocks. It's good stupid. For like when you're first starting out. Hard work is, it helps you. It does amplify your efforts and stuff, right? So like
hard work, but making people feel guilty for like working for 10, 12 hours during the day and feeling like, fuck me, I'm exhausted. I want to play my game. Yeah. And then you hear this voice of Hex in your head, like, no, fucking, you need to be 24/7, 365. You're never gonna make it. Fuck off, you prick. Like, you need time to recharge. That's what a lot of people just don't. And some people don't. Some people are so business-minded and like obsessed with getting rich and famous and like having the clout that they will do that, but that's 1%. That's 1%. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not fucking interested in that shit. You know, I've kind of fallen out of favor with the whole idea of success in business. Me, like, I just think, like, what does that even fucking mean? You have to do it like based on your own perception of like what success is. You know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
No, it's fine. I was just, I don't want anyone to say that anyone to think that I'm saying that hard work is not important, because like, it will separate you from other people. Like, 100%, I had to work hard at the beginning when I was freelance to make shit work, and I got lucky in a sense. I got myself into a position where I could be lucky and get a full-time job and sustain myself quickly and stuff, right? But I say that, I don't think you're lucky to be working in esports if you're effectively wearing like three different hats just to justify one shit wage, because these companies expect a lot out of you. If you work in socials, you're probably also doing mad community management. You're probably fucking doing some sort of graphic design with a template and stuff for the scores. You're probably doing marketing efforts, which are not necessarily within your remit as well, like high level shit, of course posting them, but like actually fucking ideating and stuff. Like you have to do more than what you think. Like if you're the editor of a website called Esports Insider back in the day, you have to do quite a fucking bit. You have to also look after the magazine that's going on, and you have to do socials, and you're also trying to be a journalist while editing other people. It's a fucking madness. So like that's a lot of work to do, and you accept that when you take the job. But like esports has been very well funded. I think funding's going down, as we've discussed before, but like you can't be paying me half of what the fuck I could be getting paid in any other industry to work harder for your company. That's not a fucking privilege. You're just taking the piss out of me. You're just completely taking advantage of me, because you know I'm like, oh my God, I've been a G2 fan, an example, all my life. I will do anything to work for you guys. I will work for free for fucking 6 months, and I will join for 20K a year and do work that brings you fucking 600K back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying G2 take the piss out of people. I don't know. Just saying, as an example. Like, that shit can very much happen, and people are getting the piss taken out of them, taken advantage of. And I, like, these companies are not fucking families. Astralis announced the CSGO team for ESL Impact Women's CSGO team, and they're like, We're not just a team, we're a family. I'm like, nah, get that fucking bullshit out of there, because family will expect you to do things above and beyond what the fuck this professional team would, mate. So like, they're framing it that way, and that's dangerous for you lot. They're not family. They pay you for you to show up and fucking trade in your hard work and skills and expertise. Like, how much we take the piss, and I think we're doing it a lot.
For most people, your job isn't your family, is it? Like, it's a very rare thing. Unless you work for your job. Yeah. But I mean, like unless you absolutely,
with the nepotism,
nice, I forgot what I was saying again.
Sorry, man.
I think it was shit. Anyway, I think it was just the one sentence. So anyway, fuck it, it's fine.
So I just don't think like it. Yeah, you can love Dota, but like joining OG, for example, and working so hard for them just to get paid fucking a third of what you would if you did the same job in any other industry. That's not you being lucky. That's you getting taken advantage of. You know, keep that as your fucking passion and go get the bag elsewhere. Like, only stupid fuckers like me are staying in the same industry where they get paid a lot less for what they do. Like, very stupid people like me are still doing that, you know. But, I think there is a problem overall. It's changing over the years for sure. Like 3 years ago, this debate was like, no, you'd have to fucking graft. Now it's everyone's just, a lot of people besides the really old guard kind of folk, maybe the OGs of the industry, everyone's just like, fam, like this is not the wave anymore. We're working as much as we want to work within our hours.
Yeah.
And we'll go above and beyond where we see fit. But like, you're not getting fucking 20 hours a day out of me anymore.
It does feel like there's been a shift. Yeah, it does feel like there's been a shift in esports gaming and generally, like, you're obviously going to get the very, like, American graft non-stop type stuff. And I get, like, I agree with what you said before. Like, you can't avoid hard work if you want to be successful. But my takeaway from that is just, like, what's success mean? That's one thing I've tried work. I've thought, like, oh, yeah, I want to be successful, like, when I was younger. And then I work for companies and I'm like, I'm not that interested in being successful, actually. If it requires this and I feel like I'm wasting my time, well, you know, not to get too existential, but we're not, like, here forever. And that's how I feel. Like, when I'm doing something I don't want to be doing, when I'm working, like, 8 to 9, 10 hours a day in a job that I really don't care about, I really start to think to myself, what's the point? Like, what am I doing this for? That's why I'm so quick to leave a job. And I think more people should be willing to do that and just fucking figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, success to me 4 years ago was making it in esports full time. Success to me now is having a as much of a balance as I can achieve effectively, where there's freedom for me to do what I want outside of my work hours. Like, if I have the time and the resources to be able to go see the people I want to see and be relatively happy, then that's success. And also, how do you define hard work? Is hard work working 16 hours, or is it like doing a very good job within the 8? You know,
yeah,
like,
8 hours is a long time, man. A long time.
Yeah, you can work a lot better, like, if you look after yourself and you're not fucking knackered all the time and you're not burning the candle at both ends. Like, you can be more productive within those 100%. Hours. I used to work 16 hours and when I looked after myself properly, I could work 4 hours and get the same amount done, probably. You know what I mean? Like, instead of dilly-dallying on Twitter a bit and just, being a fucking zombie.
That's another thing.
You're going to get the best out of people sometimes.
Yeah, that's another result of this constant like work all the time type mentality. Is if you have in your head that you're, oh, today I'm going to be working until 12 at night, you're going to spend more time wasting time. You're going to spend more time procrastinating. You're going to scroll Twitter more. You're going to do random LinkedIn posts. I mean, social media posts are fine for like boosting your thing, I guess. But like, you're going to be doing the, you're going to be make, you're going to be satisfying your ego rather than doing the stuff that's actually productive way more. Whereas if you just say to yourself, no, I'm okay for the next like few hours, I'm going to really try and get the most important stuff done. All of a sudden you've got the most important stuff done in a few hours. Then what? You spend less time scrolling Twitter. That's not productive. So I think there's a lot to be said for like shortening your time frame, I guess, and then just trying to get more done in that time. I do think there's like a very toxic thing about telling yourself to work constantly like that. At least for me, it has the opposite effect on me. I just tune out.
I also think the way we measure productivity is pretty fucking clapped as well. If you measure it purely quantitatively, like output-based, then that doesn't account for the quality of the fucking output, mate. Like, I think like just ticking X boxes saying, oh, I got fucking 15 tasks done today, instead of, oh, I got the three most important tasks done and they were done to excellent quality that no one can deny. And I delegated well some of the others and blah, blah, blah. I think the way, I don't know, you set up the Notion page and you're ticking it off every day and you're trying to get 100% at the bottom of that fucking chart or that table. And it's just like, I've only kind of realized it recently, but I don't think that's the best way to like measure stuff. Like, especially as like a writer, a content guy, like a lot of my stuff is like, okay, you get one article out, you get one video out, you get the newsletter out. Like, it's very easy to then shift it into like, oh, I've done nothing because I had three less articles published this week versus the last. I must have worked harder last week. But it's like, there's so many different variables there. I don't think judging productivity that way is great at all. Yeah. And
Tim Ferriss,
I don't know if remote work actually creates more of that output-based kind of performance judging, because they can only really see your output. They can't see what you're doing when you're sat there reading something which will inform you or brainstorming and thinking, you know?
That's one thing I like about working from home, actually, is you can do that stuff without feeling guilty. Like, if I'm in the office and my boss sat behind me. Yeah, that literally, you have to feel like you look busy the whole time. You have to make yourself look busy the whole time, or at least it feels that way. Like, you can't just, like you said, you can't sit and read an article that's informative for your job. You feel bad for even doing something like that. So I guess that's a good thing about work from home. But Tim Ferriss calls it, like, he frames it as efficiency versus effectiveness. So like, you can be efficient, you can get all your tasks done, you can be like the best, like most productive, like productivity porn enthusiastic, like fucking I'll do everything on my to-do list, versus like, but is any of that stuff actually effective?
Yeah,
you know, that's his whole thing, and I love that. Like, do, what do they call it, swallowing the frog, like do the most important task first thing in the morning or first thing in the day. Mm-hmm. And then from there, choose what you want, but do the most important one first. Yeah,
win, get the big win early in the day, and that momentum as well will probably actually fucking carry you through to get the, like, once you've done the hard stuff, the easy stuff's just like, it's a doddle, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess to wrap up like the topic as a whole, just about esports, I would say, I think people should do what they feel is best for them. Don't feel pressured into working more, as long as you're doing enough and getting the job done well. But similarly, like, if you want to go above and beyond, like, no one can fucking stop you, and it could well help you as long as you're doing it smart. But make sure obviously you're looking after yourself outside of it, because you can drop the ball in other areas very quickly. But what I would say is, outside of that, so do what the fuck you want, but also I would love for people, especially those who've been in esports for a long time, who had to put up with some bullshit, no pay, or maybe like getting fucked over by certain companies who didn't have the money and having to sleep on floors at LANs and all this kind of shit. Like, we respect the fuck out of you, and you helped build the industry, fair play. It's a shit industry now, but the stuff you guys did, it was sick. Well done. But like, there's no need for this shit anymore. Like, we can have our own hotel rooms at LANs and fucking sleep well. Like, we don't have to be fucking grinding all the time. We don't have to beg for money, fam. Like, none of that shit has to be done. I can work normal hours, get the job done, and that's that. I'm not quite quitting. I'm just doing the fucking job that I've been contracted to do. And then I'm living my life outside of that. I'd encouraging people to be fucking grafting their ass off. Like, it depends on how you word the message. And if you're saying it's essential, to grind your ass off to work in esports, I think you're wrong at this point.
Mm.
They would say, "Oh, we want an industry full of grinders." I'm like, "Yeah, but sensibly." And again, like, work, make sure they're working efficiently. Like, just, you can just work, and that's that. You don't always have to be on your fucking grizzined, straight Gary Vee hustling. Like, I don't think that's a, I don't think it's necessary. And again, like, people can do whatever the fuck they want, but I just don't think the message is particularly helpful.
Yeah, I think some people,
you guys worked hard to make it easy for the easier for the new people. How about that? You fucking also, lovely people. Thank you.
A lot of the conversation as well, generally speaking, outside of gaming as well, is driven by the people that want to work that much. There are some people out there that are just so entrepreneurial and so obsessed with it, so obsessed with like making deals and starting businesses, that they want to work 15, 16 hours a day. Fine. Like, I respect that massively, because I could not do that probably unless there was like, there was like a project I had an idea about, and then bang, like, I was on it. But other than that, like, those people fight. Like, I'm not saying it's bad in every case, obviously. I'm just saying, what my problem is, like, what people then, because I know this has been my experience, people then start to feel bad if they're not grinding to that extent, or like every minute they have of relaxation, they're like, wow, there's like a little voice where they're like, no, but I could be doing more right now. It's like, yeah, of course you could, but you're not. So,
I've still got that, and I stopped the pure grind shit like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, hopefully by now, I think. But I still like, I can't remember the last time I sat down on my settee, mate, like, for like more than a second. I legitimately can't, and it's right there, and like, it's just unused, unworn. Like, I can't just sit and watch a film unless I literally go to the cinema, and I'm like, that's a space away from my living quarters / my working quarters, and that's that. Like, so I can, like, it's taken a long time for it to die down, and it's still not even fucking gone. And I was one of the heavier kind of grinders out there. I was legit 16, 18 hour days, like sleeping 4 hours a day type stuff for like a year, maybe 2 years. It was fucking minging.
It's unhealthy, bro. Sleeping that long anyway is unhealthy.
Yeah, well, I would tell myself, like, I'm one of the people who only needs 4 hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Jocko Willink types, where I believe he only needs, he can operate on 4 hours. I believe that because he's an hard cunt. But like, I used to think I was that kind of person.
Yeah, and he now, also has naps sometimes during the day. And he's older. People that are older don't need as much sleep, you know.
Well, he's probably to me, Dad, he started having granddad naps and that now, mate. Like, it's dangerous. And he's sleeping all fucking time, that fucker. But no, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's So while I don't know if we agree particularly on generalizing the industry to say it's got a hustle problem, like, are symptoms that just startup culture, tech culture and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There are good messages to send and perhaps not very healthy messages to send, but no one is responsible for how people work than the person at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just comes down to, like, especially for us, a lot of the stuff we consume, like streamers and like creators, I guess, like Hex, because he's kind of with his podcast and stuff. Like, we were speaking about Gary Vee at the beginning. Like, a lot of these people are American. You know what I mean? America is a very, very capitalistic, individualistic, that sort of culture of like work, work, work. Like, it just is. Like, you need to work for what you get type thing. So then it leads to this conversation led by a pretty American like base. I think anyway, I get most of that from Americans, to be fair. So yeah, do it if you want, but really don't feel bad for not doing it. If like, decide what productivity is for you, what a meaningful fucking existence is to you. And do that, you know. Yep. Don't feel like you have to be like a CEO or you know, even like a fucking middle manager or a director. Like, you don't have to be anything. You can fucking do what you want to do, you know.
You've got to define shit for yourself.
Yeah.
Live on your own terms. Don't be looking at other people and going, oh, I need to match that shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And unless, have you got anything to close out? Because I have a closing thing. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add at the end.
No, don't think so. I'm ready for you to see us to the end.
Well, just my last message is irrelevant to this topic, but I just want to say, like, Ollie Ring, if you watch this, don't bother fucking tweeting me. I'd have enough of your bollocks. Like, I had to block you and then unblock you just to stop you from following me to see my tweets, because you just go on at me all the time and you still somehow see my tweets very fucking quickly. Just fuck off, man. I've had enough of you. You're boring. You're lucky I'm not blocking you. In a bit, everyone. See you on the next fucking episode.
safe.